verse 4 through 6, Psalm 27, verse 4 through 6. If y'all pray with me, we'll be finished before midnight. Psalms 27, verse 4 through 6, it says, "One thing I asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." I want to talk about dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Lord have mercy, this is good to me. Dwelling in the presence of the Lord. This is almost like somebody telling a joke and they laughing before it get out. This sermon is so good to me. I'm shouting before I could even tell you what the sermon is all about here. How many of y'all know that no matter how hard you try to live right, trouble has a way of just popping up in your life? Pray all you want to pray, fast when you want, study all you want, trouble still pops up in our life. But I felt led to remind somebody that if you come into the presence of God and worship him, he can get you through whatever trouble is in your life. The writer of our text, many believe it's David, gives us some principles to both ponder and practice. And so we just won't be all over the place. Let me organize our thinking by suggesting that we should be mindful of God's presence, times of trouble, and worship. What is he talking about? He's talking about God's presence, times of trouble, and worship. Can I start with God's presence? David says, "This is the only thing I'm asking of the Lord. Let me get to the house so that I can see the Lord. In fact, I want to gaze upon his beauty." His request was to be in the presence of the Lord. Can I quickly tell you about five things that I think the Lord put in my spirit for you about God's presence? Do y'all have a minute? Here's the first thing. Because God is present, we ought to take care of the house. Somebody say, take care of the house. In the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle and the temple. These were the building structure tents where God met his people. In the New Testament, we have what we call the church house. This is one of many. Because it's God's house, we ought to take care of the house. This is where every believer ought to feel compelled to pay their tithes, give their offering, render their service, so that the Lord's house will look like the Lord's house. Now, I must make sure I pause and salute us for the marvelous work we have already accomplished. Do you all remember what the kitchen used to look like? Do you remember what these embarrassing bathrooms over here on Lexington used to look like, used to smell like? You remember when water used to seep through the sanctuary in the Lord's house? You remember we used to have holes in the Man Place parking lot. You remember those raggedy awnings that used to hang off the doors, especially at the Man Place entrance. Y'all remember we couldn't see what was on the screens in the sanctuary, and it may take a long time for us to forget that we paid off $1 million worth of debt in less than 6 years. Somebody ought to say, Lord, thank you for how far we've come. However, as much as we salute our past, we must strain for those things that are in front of us. Because, let's face it, nobody in this room would want paint or plaster chipping and falling from their ceiling. Nobody in this room would want dirty fans in their living room. Nobody here would want raggedy chairs in their home. Nobody here would want outdated bathrooms in their house. And therefore, every believer who considers themselves a part of this body ought to work to make sure that the Lord's house looked like the Lord's house. Somewhere on that list must be making our fellowship hall handicap accessible. Now, there's at least two reasons why we ought to make it handicap accessible. One, it's embarrassing for people who are in wheelchairs and what have you to have men pick them up and carry them down the stairs. It's embarrassing to the person in the chair. It is uncomfortable for the people who have to carry them down the stairs. And my God, if somebody slipped and fall, there's no telling what would happen out of that incident. It's just terrible. It's embarrassing. If you brag about something, brag about getting the Lord's house in shape. But another reason, this one is a little bit more self-serving, why you ought to make the fellowship hall more handicap accessible, is you don't know when you gonna be in a wheelchair. You don't know when you are not gonna be able to walk up and down the stairs. When you're young, you walk up and down the stairs and you don't even know the stairs are there. You get a little bit older, you can walk up and down them, but you know exactly how many stairs are there. But keep on having birthdays and you find out that the stairs seem to get further and further apart. Because it's God's house, not your house. Because it's God's house, all of God's people ought to be able to get to all of the parts of the Lord's house. Haggai chapter 1 verse 9, don't have time to read it today. Haggai chapter 1 verse 9 reminds us that God does not appreciate when his people spend more time on their house than they spend on his house. God does not appreciate when our house looks better than his house. Point number one was take care of the house. Point number two, behave in the house. Because it's God's house, we ought to behave in the house. Do y'all remember when children used to behave in the presence of their parents and elders? Well, God, our Father, is always present. And God wants us to be known for loving one another. God wants us to be known for working with one another to carry out his agenda of good works. You know, some of us wouldn't have so much time for silly, petty stuff if we were busy doing the work of the Lord. But I think it aggravates God to see how easily we gossip about one another. How guilty we can be of not giving our best in service. James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4:17 talks about to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I got enough sense to know that there are many people who cannot do much of anything. You take all your energy just to get here on Sunday morning. There are some people who have some cannot. But I'm here to tell you, most of us don't suffer from cannot, we suffer from will not. I can't get no help on this side of the room. I said, most of us don't suffer from cannot, we suffer from will not. You ought to behave in the house. Point three, so the first one was take care of the house. Number two, behave in the house. Here's number three, focus on God in the house. When David got to the Lord's house, he talks about how I gazed upon the beauty of the Lord. It's a terrible thing to come to the Lord's house and see everything except the Lord. There are folk who come here and you see the no good preacher. You see the unfaithful deacons. You see the tricky trustees. You see the hypocritical members. You worry about the enemies in your life. You worry about troubled circumstances in your life. You see everything except the Lord. And sometimes the reason we don't see him is because we don't seek him. David went to the house seeking to see the beauty of the Lord. And you know, if you don't spend quality time in God's word, you're not doing much seeking. Every believer ought to make some time to be in a Bible study, be it Sunday school, be it growth group. This ought to be in addition to your personal time with God. Because if you seek the Lord, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9 says, if we would seek him, he would let us find at least a piece of him. Here I must slow down and remind you that if you really want to see the Lord, these ought to be the things on your list. Your communication form talks about what are your next steps. This ought to be somebody's next step. I'm going to work on my prayer life. I'm going to work on my studying of God's word. I'm going to work on my praise of God. But most of all, I'm going to work on my obedience to God. Because there are some things that God will never show you until you obey what he's already showed you. Am I preaching to anybody in here today? When you seek God and see God's will for your life, then you will see why David talks about, I want to gaze upon his beauty. God's will for your life is beautiful. Can I tell you what I mean? Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 looks pretty beautiful to me. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Isn't that beautiful? John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full or more abundantly. Isn't that beautiful? Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God has a beautiful plan for your life. And when you come up in here, you ought to be gazing on the Lord's beauty and not the distraction of people and circumstances around you. Y'all still here? Take care of the house. Behave in the house. Focus on God in the house. Here's number four. Obey what is imparted in the house. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 through 48. Luke 12, 47 through 48 talks about, to whom much is given, much is required. Get it good now. It's not enough for you to know about it. You need to be about it. The more God shows you, the more God expects out of you. So every time you hear about the church values being evangelism, edification, love, worship, community involvement, and excellence, this ought not just nurture head knowledge, this ought to nurture behavior. You ought to feel compelled to be involved in evangelism, edification, love, worship, community involvement, and excellence. When you understand that you would do well to work on your attitude, your health, your finances, your relationships, the contribution that you make for the greater good, it's one thing to have that in your head, but God wanted to move past your head in your heart and into your hands. He wants you to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Here comes my fifth little point. Y'all didn't go to sleep yet, have you? I told you, take care of the house, behave in the house, focus on God in the house, obey what is imparted in the house. But number five, thank God, God is bigger than the house. I said God is bigger than the house. Listen to Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. In other words, God is everywhere at the same time. And it is the everywhereness of God that ought to make you shout. Because if God was only a local God, you got to come to his locale to be blessed, then I would have a problem. Because so much of my life takes place outside of the church house. But what I love about God is he's bigger than the church house. If you got a nerve-wracking job, God is already there. If you got a home full of discord and hostility, God is already there. If you got to go talk to the doctor and see what the results of the test are, God is already there. When you are slumbering and sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, God has guards all around your door. God is an everywhere at the same time God. He is bigger than the house. But now I got to move on to talk about times of trouble. That was a whole sermon I just preached. Here's a whole nother sermon over here. He says, not only am I excited about being in the presence of God, but verse 5 and 6 give us some context about why he's in such a hurry to get to the house. Verse 5 says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Get it good now. David wants to be in the Lord's house because there's so much trouble in his life. And he believes that if he can just make it to the house, then everything would be all right. Somebody need to hear what the preacher is trying to communicate today. Focus on God more than your troubles. Did you hear what I said? I said, focus on God more than your troubles. Now, I know you got troubles in your life, but it's also true that you have God in your life. And you and I stand at a fork in the road. Every morning when we wake up, we can go left and focus on our trouble, or we can go right and focus on our God. Listen to Psalm 37, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 3. It said, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Listen, I can't preach this sermon, but I want to at least pick at these two verses, these two clauses that catch my attention. Verse 1 said, do not fret. Now what that says to me is that there are some circumstances in our life that tempt us to fret. And if the devil had his way, we would fret. But the word of the Lord is that even when circumstances suggest you ought to fret. And when the devil tells you you ought to fret, the word of the Lord is, do not fret. Now, what that also tells me is, if God told me don't do it, that means it's within my power not to do it. For God would never tell me, do not fret, and it was not within my power to carry out the instruction. That would be an unreasonable instruction. So when God said, don't do it, no matter how hard it may be, it's within my power not to do it. Now, somebody has learned, you can't just say no. One of the first ladies of our president had a slogan, just say no. How many of y'all know you can't just say no? You got to say yes to something. You got to occupy the space. You can't just evict the devil and leave the house empty. You got to occupy the space. So if I don't fret, what shall I do? Come on back to verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord. And so trust won't be just in your head. It says, and do good. The measure of how much you trust them in your head, in your heart, is how much good can you keep on doing. Everybody can smile when your bills are paid. Everybody can be nice when you don't have pains in your body. Everybody can have a pleasant spirit when all is well. But can you trust them enough to do good even when evil people are all around you? Instead of occupying your space with fret and with worry, occupy the space with trust in God. I know you got trouble in your life. Somebody sitting here right now with issues in your mind and in your spirit. The dark cloud of depression follows you everywhere you go. Fear is always at the door. Loneliness rocks you to sleep at night. There are others with health problems. Diabetes, hypertension, cancer, complications from obesity. There are folk with financial problems. Your money is low. Your expenses are high. Retirement is not lined up. Then there are folk with relationship problems. Your marriage is on the rocks. You're depressed about not having a marriage. You got fake friends. Children are driving you crazy. Then there's problems in the community. There's violence everywhere. There's drugs everywhere. There's lack of respect everywhere. Man, we could write a book about all of the troubles that's going on in our life. But right next to trouble is a choice. You can choose to focus on the trouble, which is only going to lead to you being more troubled, or you can focus on God and trust Him to handle the trouble. It's really your choice. It's really your choice. You are going to meditate on something. Meditation, that's just a matter of focusing your mind. When you meditate on what's wrong, that's called worry. That's worry meditation. But you can use the same muscle to meditate and focus on how God has not brought me this far just to leave me now. And while you're meditating, you might as well go and get your prayer on and tell the Lord, thank you that you brought me safe this far. And if you're going to pray, you might as well get your praise on and tell him, Lord, I'm trusting you to lead me on. It's really up to you. All of us got to go through Psalm 37. But it's really up to us. Will we hang out in verse 1 or will we hang out in verse 3? But we got to go through this water. You can choose to fret or you can choose to trust. But I've made up my mind that because worry don't work and because fret does not happen, it does not help me, I will trust in the Lord. Now let me tell you what I'm trusting Him for. I'm trusting Him to have His way in my life. Thank you, David, for showing me your prayer life. David said, my prayer is for protection. He said, I'm coming to the house so that the Lord can protect me. Did y'all see it? Verse 5, it says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Thank you, David. Because if it were up to me, I like victory. I want to win. If it's a competition, I want to be the winner. If it's a first, second, and third prize, I want first prize. I want to win. But sometimes it's not God's will for me to win. It's just God's will for me to be kept. David did not pray, "Lord, kill my enemies." If it was up to me, I wouldn't have an enemy in the world. They'd all be gone. But David said, no, that's not my prayer to kill my enemies. What I want you to do is just lift my head above my enemies. He doesn't ask God to do anything to the enemy. His prayer is, "Lord, put me on a rock that's so high that even my enemies can't knock me off of the rock." Can y'all hear what I'm saying to you? That sometimes God gives us victory, and if that's his will, praise the Lord. But there are many times when God does not give us victory, he gives us protection. He does not cause the enemy to stop acting a fool in your life, but what he does is he keeps you safe from their foolishness. He does not destroy the enemies around you. All these folk are not your friend, but what he does is he builds a shelter for you in the midst of fake friends. He does not stop the storm from raging in your life, but he builds a shelter for you in the midst of the storm. Romans 8:28 is a great passage for me. It says, "And we know," we don't just think this thing, "we know that in all things," do you know what all things mean? All things mean every single thing. "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him." Well, I love him. He works for those who have been called according to his purpose. David comes to the Lord's presence in the time of trouble. Last piece of my little Bible story now is worship. Y'all still here? David said, "Yes, I want to be in the Lord's presence. Yes, there are times of trouble. But if I just get there, I'm not going to just sit there. I'm going to worship him." Verse 6 says, "It's at his tabernacle. Will I sacrifice with shouts of joy? I will sing and make music to the Lord." Well, let's get the aggravating stuff out of the way first. Notice that when David came for worship, he said, "When I get there, I'm going to sacrifice." What we would call this today is giving. You see, the more David gazed on the beauty of the Lord, the more he thought about how the Lord had kept him, is keeping him, promises to keep him, David said, "I can't just sit here and do nothing." He said, "I'm going to give the Lord a sacrifice." You know, it's dangerous and so sad, and in fact, it's just downright embarrassing for us to keep coming to the Lord's house and begging him to give us more and more and more, but we don't want to give to the Lord. The Bible, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, teaches us that where our treasures are, that's where our hearts are as well. But David did not only sacrifice in the Lord's house, but he said, "I'm going to do it with joy." How many of y'all remember that 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 teaches that God loves a cheerful giver? The reason why you ought to be cheerful is because whatever we give to God is only a small portion of what God has already given to us. The reason why you and I ought to be cheerful in our giving
is because whatever we give, the Lord will give it back to us, and with even more. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Get it good now when your worship is for real. It will be more than an emotional experience. Real worship impacts our giving. Did you hear what I said? Now everybody come and jump on the gravy of the sermon. But I remind you, at judgment, you will be held accountable for the meat. Here comes the gravy. David said, yes, I'm in his presence. Yes, I got trouble in my life. Yes, I'm going to worship with my giving, but I'm also going to worship with my singing. Can I spend the last few minutes of your attention today talking about singing? David sung and made music unto the Lord. Oh Lord, I want to walk carefully here. I thank God for our choirs, and I thank God for our band, but the church sounds her best when all the believers lift their voices unto the Lord. It's dangerous to outsource all of the singing to the choir. Every believer ought to have a song to sing. The black church made a great contribution when they made popular what we call call and response. And I got a few folk who remember call and response. In the church of my upbringing, some of our deacons were known for heisting a hymn, and they would heist with call and response. One I remember well, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. That's what Deke was saying. That's called the call. And then Deke would be quiet, and the whole congregation would respond back. And they would sing, a charge to keep our hand, a God to glorify. Oh Lord, singing is not just for the choir. Every believer
ought to have a song, at least a piece of a song. It's dangerous to have the choir to sing for you. It's dangerous to be addicted to music, because there's trouble that will come in your life so quick that you can't find tenor, alto, and soprano. Sometimes trouble can come so quick, you can't get Ernie, you can't get Washington, you can't find Larkin, and you can't get Johnson. There are times when trouble comes so quick in your life that you gotta sing your old song, and you gotta sing it a cappella. No music, nowhere. This is one of my concerns with the new music I hear. It just don't sound right if you don't have the music. There's trouble in your life that's not gonna wait for you to get a band. You gotta sing and sing right now. Now I wanna close here by just suggesting some songs to consider on your playlist. Can I have a minute just for your consideration? Here's something you can sing on Monday morning all by yourself. We'll trust in the Lord until I die. Oh Lord, on Tuesday morning without a man, you can sing glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Oh Lord, on Wednesday without a band, you can sing I am on the battlefield for my Lord, and I promised him that I would serve him until I'm nine. On Thursday morning with no man and no backup singers, you can sing I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Lord have mercy. On Saturday morning you can wake up and sing so glad Jesus lifted me. On Sunday morning on your way to church, before the praise team sang, before the deacon prayed, before pastor put a growl in his voice, you can sing out in your car, out in the parking lot, at home in the shower, come and go with me to my Father's house. On your way in here, you can sing all by yourself. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. That's all, children. I gotta leave you here. I did the best I could to tell you to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Dwell in the presence of the Lord. And I'm so glad. When I come in here, I oftentimes have to perform an exorcism. There are times I gotta come in here and put the devil and all of his demons on notice. No time for foolishness. It's all about Jesus. I'm glad that I feel his presence in his house. What I'm really excited about is I also feel his presence outside the house. I wish I had a witness here. I'm so glad that I just don't feel him on Sunday morning, but he real on Monday morning. He real on Tuesday afternoon. He real on Wednesday evening. He's real on Thursday and Friday. On Saturday, he real in my life. Anybody here? Anybody here? No, my God, he real. Don't fool me now. I gotta serve communion. Don't fool me now. I gotta meet with these groups. Don't fool me now. The bingo start at 1 o'clock. Pam is already looking at me funny. I ain't got time to play with y'all. Anybody in here know that God is real? Anybody in here know that God is present? Isn't it good to know everywhere you go, God is already there? If you got trouble on your job, walk up in there knowing that God is in this place. If you gotta go see the doctor and scared what the test might tell you, don't worry about it. God, doctor of doctors, is already there. God has already read the report, wrote your prescription, got a plan for your life. If you got hell in your home, don't stress, don't fret. God is still present, and if you gaze upon his beauty, he'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. If you gaze upon his beauty, he'll give you joy down in your heart. Anybody here know about joy? Won't he give you joy? He'll have you smiling when people think you ought to be crying. He'll give you laughter when people think you ought to be crying. And you can try to explain if you want to, but until you get it, you really don't understand. There's a joy, yeah, that the world can't give. And I thank God the world can't take it away. I thank God for my joy. After all the trouble I've been through, after all the hell I've seen, I still got joy, 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 oh, joy. I thank God I don't have to wait until the morning. I got joy even in the midnight hour. Anybody here got joy? Anybody here got joy down in your heart? Trouble on every side, but joy on the inside. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Let me hear you say yeah, 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 oh, yeah, yeah. He'll give you joy. I said he'll give you joy. You got to dwell in the presence of the Lord, even in the time of trouble, even in the time of trouble. you can dwell in the presence of the Lord. I hope you understand, I'm not talking about you got to come and dwell at 3556 Redding Road. God is bigger than the church house. Wherever you go, whatever trouble is in front of you, you can choose to dwell in the presence of the Lord. And when you dwell in his presence, he'll make things well with your soul. I wish I had a witness up in here. The more you dwell, the better it'll be for you. But you got to choose. You can fret about what you see, or you can lean on what you believe. If I was you, I would trust the Lord that has brought me safe this far. Would you stand? The invitation.